Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for sometime in October. It's towards the end of October and we're still here, still at soccer.
Watching
our children.
This time we have a front row seat to see our
fifth child.
Yeah, our fifth child. Was it our second from the youngest? Whatever, yeah. She's pretty good. She's... how old is she?
She's going to be 10 in a week.
Wow, she looks like she's 6.
She's so tiny. She's in the 10 to 12 group, and everyone is, like, much taller than her, but...
She's wiry and coordinated.
She seems, intimidating, because these taller girls keep giving way before her. She plows through them. Maybe we should sign her up for football. Well, I guess American football. But, yeah. I mean, her whole demeanor is very different from our son, who likes to stand on the field and look at the ball as it goes past him.
You said for me not to make fun of our second son.
But I know that it's okay because he's thinking about Roman emperors and he's like wrapped up in his head.
Yeah, he's thinking
about this. He's ahead in Latin. Whereas
all of our other children are way, way, way back.
Maybe struggling to read, but she can kick a ball.
But she can kick a ball. She's our...
Maybe we shouldn't even bother to teach her to read.
She can...
We can, like... Women don't need to read anyway.
Yeah, what's the use of in educating them?
She'll be able to scrub a pot like nobody's business.
And that'll be... She will have fulfilled her purpose.
Oh, my word. So, we are here this morning to talk about Paula White. And that's happening because she wrote a book. And it has her... face plastered all over it. She's a prosperity gospel teacher, although she claims not to be. And we wouldn't be talking about this except for some noted quote evangelical leaders.
I wouldn't say quote, actual evangelical leaders. Like, I think Franklin Graham is an actual, we've heard him preach, he's an evangelical preacher.
I think he's been losing credibility for a while now.
Well, to the extent that he's...
His dearly beloved best friend, Mr. Trump, is... it's a little sketchy, that's all. That he would love Mr. Trump the way he does and not seem to mind Mr. Trump's sexual proclivities in a way that normal evangelical leaders don't enjoy that sort of
thing.
Right.
Well, okay, so we're not going to talk about politics because that tends to...
Yeah, that's very bad. Let's just talk about Paula White.
But we will talk about the way some of our evangelical leaders sell themselves out to politicians. And I think this is an example because Paula White is the head of President Trump's pastor group. I forget what they're called, but his
spiritual advisors.
Spiritual advisors, right. And all four of the evangelical pastors who have endorsed her book are also part of that group. And you have to ask a question, why would they know very well that Paula White's a prosperity gospel preacher. They know that.
Do they?
Well, they've been on the same council. They spend a lot of time together in this thing. So they know...
And
at least three of the endorsements indicate that they've read the book, and they know of her. You know, my good friend Paula White.
You should read the book before you endorse it.
So
that's an important thing to do.
So then, why would, knowing that the prosperity gospel is a false teaching, why would they endorse her book? And there's only one reason: because of their common. Their common love for the president, and that trumps everything. There's no other right. Well, that's what it is. So, anyway, let's see. Let me get. Oh no, you have the article right.
So I don't know. You don't think we should just leap in to talk about her and then go back up and read the endorsements?
All right. So that's the idea.
Nine things you should know about
this
Paula
is from
White.
The Gospel Coalition by Joe Carter. He published this, I think, yesterday or the day before.
Wednesday or something.
Yeah.
Okay, White says she became a Christian in 1984 at the age of 18. I like that she says she became a Christian because we're not really sure. On an episode of her television show in 2005, she described a vision she said was given soon after her conversion. Here's her vision. When I was just 18 years old and barely saved, the Lord gave me a vision that every time I opened my mouth and declared the word of the Lord, there was a manifestation of His Spirit where people were either healed, delivered, or saved. When I shut my mouth, they fell off into utter darkness, and God spoke to me and said, I called you to preach the gospel. That's her vision. White then
so
attended,
every time she opens her mouth,
yeah,
people will be saved or healed.
Saved, healed, and delivered. When she shuts her mouth, they go into outer darkness. I mean, I hope
so
she walks around with her mouth
wide. Yeah, keep your mouth. She's the font of salvation and healing.
Yeah.
The one
God
that, yeah.
showed her that.
So.
She then attended National Bible College and Seminary in Fort Washington, Maryland. Although she did not graduate from the school, she was ordained by the school's founder, Pentecostal preacher and evangelist T.L. Lowry. So that's super awkward and also completely heretical.
What's that?
That she would open her mouth and the Lord would save, heal, and deliver. But when she closes her mouth, they would be cast into outer darkness.
Yeah, we just were talking about
I
that.
I know, I just, like, I having read it aloud, I'm just stunned. Like, it's actually clicking in my mind in a new way. So that's really, okay, number two. White was married and had a child when she met Randy White, an associate pastor at the church she was attending. Randy was also married and had three children. Paula and Randy divorced their spouses and married each other in 1989.
Okay, wait.
It's like... So, a Dick and Jane book.
No, so they're both married. They meet each other. They fall in love, divorce their spouses, get married to each other. That's... And this woman wants to be, you know, a preacher or a pastor. And I guess Randy White was a pastor at the time. Is that right?
They were...
Can you imagine, like, if I started counseling a couple and...
Well, I mean, yes, I can imagine because it happens all the time. It's like a thing that people do now.
It's just crazy. Why? I mean...
They divorced. It's fine. It's fine, though, because in 1991, Paula and Randy started a church called South Tampa Christian Center, because in 1991, that was a name that, quote, churches had. Now it would have been called, like, Fluid or Potential. Okay. Because the church only had five members and could not afford to pay the Whites, the couple lived on government assistance and the kindness of others. By 2006, however, so that's a lot of years. I'm not good at math. Now dubbed, here it is, Without Walls International Church, because by 2006,
that, I mean, I know she's a prosperity gospel person, but that's a very Episcopalian name for a church.
Without Walls.
Church
so
Without Walls.
In 1991, South Tampa Christian Center, all churches were called that. Now they're all called Without Walls and Potential.
What is that?
They claimed.
Can we talk about the Without Wall thing?
What
is that? What are you trying to say? I mean, really, it's October. It's cold. I mean, no one wants to go to a church without walls.
Yeah.
Really, no one wants to. And why would you... I guess it's trying to say that you're inclusive of everybody, but... But everybody? I mean, do you really want, like...
Okay, well, this goes to, like, I keep saying this over and over again, but the LGBT heresy, what they do is they invite you into the church... and they say it's going to be really awesome. And you come in from the cold expecting to be made warm, but then they open all the windows and doors so that once you get into the church, there's
right.
actually no salvation and there's
right.
nothing to heal you. So because it sounds like that they're putting that
right.
in the name of their church. Like, you
there
could come in, but there's
no
nothing to come into.
We do not preach repentance for the forgiveness of your sins
right.
here.
So just
or Jesus.
Anyway, I wonder.
Except for healing your diseases.
I would love. I'd love to right. see a picture of it. Like, do you think that the church building actually had walls?
I'm assuming that it actually had walls. That would be kind of ironic to take a picture of the.
I'd love to do that.
Of the church without walls.
Okay, they claimed in 2006 to have 20,000 people, making it the seventh largest congregation in the United States. A year later. The couple announced to the church that they were getting a divorce.
Man, that's shocking.
So that's two marriages
so you think,
down.
You know, after the beginning of the marriage, which was marked with fidelity and honesty and integrity, that the marriage would last for a long time. But it seems that What are you doing?
I'm texting our son.
Why?
Because he needs a ride to soccer. He's got to come here later.
Okay, well, can you do that later? Or...
No, I can't. I got to do it while we're podcasting.
We're actually podcasting.
Right, I know. It's just fine.
We're in the middle of a show.
Okay, number three.
And I'm talking, and you're looking at me.
This happens all the time. Like when you look at texts while we're podcasting.
No, it doesn't.
It's like
all
a
time.
Thing that we
no,
do.
No, it doesn't.
It's
no,
one of the.
I was,
we have great sound
I wanted to
quality.
Talk about I thought it'd be interesting to talk about how this marriage that began with two people leaving their spouses for each other ended in divorce. And I thought it was, you know, kind of a point we might want to make some pithy, funny statements about. And instead.
I'm texting.
You're texting.
Child.
Right. Okay.
The family that texts together stays together.
All right. Will you stop?
Okay. Okay. In 2001, White told her then husband Randy that she wanted to. So wait, were all of her husbands named Randy?
No, this is her film. This is
oh, her. We've gone back right. to 5 years. Told her then husband Randy that she wanted to start a television show. Paula White Today aired its first episode in 2001, and by 2006, the show was on 9 television networks, including Black Entertainment Network, Trinity Broadcasting Network, and Country Music Television.
Here's a pro tip. If you have anyone on Trinity, well, not, you know, yeah, some Orthodox preachers have been on Trinity before, but it's a horrible thing. But the pro tip is, if you're looking for a church or a ministry to be involved in, and the ministry is named after the person in the ministry, probably not a good
Matt
thing.
Matt Kennedy Ministries.
Right, probably not a good
Paula White Today.
Right. Right, probably not a good thing to show, to watch.
Okay, so... Through her show, White attracted numerous celebrities to her ministry, including Jonathan Cain, keyboardist for the rock band Journey, whom she married in 2014.
Yep. So did she divorce Randy for Jonathan Cain? Did
it say well, because they got divorced in 2006.
And when did this Journey guy come in?
2014. Okay. So there's a few years.
That's the Journey. When
I wonder why they got divorced. I mean, if I was married to somebody who's had a television show as Matt Kennedy Today, I don't know why I would maybe feel like...
If I was famous and, like, racking in the big... all the cash because
know,
of
but
my...
also you'd be so obsessed with yourself that, like, if I couldn't get your attention because you were texting all the time, I'd be really ticked off.
I think you would love me even more if I had...
because
if
of
I
the
had
money?
That much money. Your heart would melt.
But if it was the other way around and I was the person who was rich... Well, maybe you would be like, oh, I'm jealous and I can't be with somebody who's so famous and important.
I already feel like that. Because you're an internationally known speaker and author. And nobody knows me anymore. After I stopped writing for Stan Firm, I'm just kind of withered into obscurity.
That's so not true.
And now I have a famous wife. Who's that? That's Anne's husband. I'm sorry, it's Anne's wife. All right, Anne's husband. That's how I'm known. I'm known as your husband now.
Does it make you feel sad?
Do you know who Matt Kennedy is? Who? She's married. He's married to Ann Kennedy.
I mean, people know who you are because we podcast together every week.
Yeah, right. I'm known by association with you.
If I were to
have my own podcast.
Your voice is literally being heard right now. Your voice matters because it's literally on
this
podcast.
If I were to have my own podcast, no one would listen to it. It would be obscure. Yeah, maybe some cranky people from the ACNA would listen to it, but
that's not very nice.
Well, no,
ACNA people are not cranky.
I don't think ACNA people are cranky. But I'm saying people listen to me would be it'd be cranky because I'm cranky sometimes. So
all the time. No.
Can we have just one little aside? I know you don't want to talk about this. We won't talk about this subject, but people being very upset with John MacArthur for being cranky. Great preacher. I don't agree with his dispensational understanding of the eschatology, and sometimes he can be short.
Like not physically short, like our child.
But sometimes he can just say
but
things,
like,
and people get mad when he says things.
Sometimes I just say things. I mean, of course he's going to say things. Like, why would you expect him not to say things?
Right. So, they set him up in this poor interview. The guy who was interviewing
him
said,
"Why would they do that?"
Said, "Okay, you can respond in one word to what I say with one word."
And then he used two words.
He used two words. Beth Moore, right? Who's
and
now
so John
you know,
MacArthur used two words.
She's a sweetheart of the Southern Baptist Church right now. I'm not sure why, but
the two words he responded with were "go home." Super, like, I'm looking for a word.
Well, Beth Moore is a false teacher. She's not a good teacher, but so he, and she's also in trial, and John MacArthur does not think that women should be anywhere near a pulpit. And no one should be surprised about that.
Yeah. I mean, why is that a shock? Why would you ask him? I feel like that's like asking Jesus, you know, if he thinks that you should be humble, you know, or something like that. Hey, Jesus, do you think that we should all follow our hearts? Jesus is going to be like, no.
Your heart is wicked.
Please don't do that. He's going to say something mean to you, like, I think you're a snake, a serpent, and... I don't know.
Well, he's like your grandpa. You know, if you go to your grandpa and you say, hey, grandpa, you know, what do you think of, I don't know.
Hey, do you like broccoli?
Or
he'll be like, no, pass me a bag of Cheetos
right
now.
You know what he's going to say.
I hate
when
broccoli.
When you get to a certain age, you just don't care about nuance.
So here's one thing, though. I do think I've thought this about, like, John Piper, that it'd be so great if some people could retire.
John Piper did retire.
Yeah, but he kept going. He's still
he shouldn't,
tweeting.
I think he shouldn't have tweeted.
He should not
tweet. He should stop tweeting. I think he should have kept preaching and stopped tweeting.
Yeah, maybe.
He's a better, much better preacher.
Because his tweets are so insane.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, they're as theologically insane as Donald Trump's tweets.
Yeah, well, I don't know that he's actually tweeting them. I'm wondering if it's someone else tweeting in his name, but... But anyway, so John MacArthur, poor getting, I mean, he doesn't care, but people are
right,
mad at
him. Right, I mean,
people are mad at him.
I mean, I think he enjoys having the whole world be mad at him.
Yeah.
Which you also enjoy. That's one of the problems that you have as a person.
I don't
Do you
enjoy
when people are angry with
no,
you.
No, it depends on who
we're
talking
about. When people revile you, you're like, yes. Whereas most people,
if it's people in my congregation, no. If it's people who are in, if people are mad at me on the inner tubes because I say something about Jesus that's true, then I do relish that.
That's the difference between you and all humanity. You and John MacArthur are on one side, and literally the entire world is on the other side. Okay, I would like to say that I do think, oh my word, get a funny bone on Twitter. Like, that it's funny for John MacArthur to say things about Beth Moore. That's fine. And Christians should enjoy that and have a good laugh. It shouldn't be the total meltdown apocalypse.
Right.
Because of who John MacArthur is and who Beth Moore is. Like, Beth Moore should be able to take it. She's a public person.
Right.
She's out there. She shouldn't be victimized by John MacArthur. Obviously, she thinks women should be talking. So, if she's going to do that, like, take it. And all of her supporters shouldn't be like, oh, we're all dying. We're all dying.
Right.
No, stop with the victimology and the pain. Like... It's John MacArthur, you know? What did you think was going to... Well, that's what you just said, but enjoy it and have a good time. That's... I think we all need to enjoy ourselves more. If we're going to do Twitter, we should all be much happier laughing people because it's so funny.
It's like... Okay, last thing I'm going to say. Let me go back to the
Are you going to say something offensive?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't do that.
I mean, you really always do that.
The Glenn Davies is the Archbishop of Sydney, and he said,
please leave the church.
He said, if you are, if you do not believe what Jesus says or what the scriptures say about sexuality,
please don't
change the doctrine of the church because of your newfound ways of thinking. He was talking to bishops. He wasn't talking to people, but I think the same thing applies. If you, instead of trying to change the doctrine of the church, why don't you go and make your own church up?
Yeah. Like, go join the Unitarians.
Right. And then...
That's what they're there for.
And instead of someone coming and saying, okay, well, let's talk about this substantively, and here's why I disagree with you. Nope. It was hurt.
He's so mean.
People were hurt.
Aw. Yeah, stop being hurt. Stop with the hurt. You're trying
that's
to do
it's
massive...
It's a weapon, right? Being hurt by something is a weapon often. It's just, you know, instead of actually dealing with a legitimate point that someone's making, you can say your feelings are hurt, and then that person is stuck in a position of having been a mean person, and then no one will listen to him because the emotions start going, and he's now evil.
Yeah, it's not about what he said. It's
right. So, anyway...
Okay.
Lots of people were hurt about the Beth Moore comment, and I think
I don't know. I don't think you should be hurt. Like, take it.
Yeah, yeah.
Deal. Like, that. How did we have 100 years of feminism so that you could be sad when John MacArthur said something mean about Beth Moore? What on earth? Grow a backbone.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. It's Twitter. Okay. So she married the guy, back to whatever her name is, Paula White here. She married the guy from Journey, because that's what Jesus would do. Journey. And then she made it. Okay, so the people who came, who watched her show, were Tyra Banks. Tyra Banks is a model, a very famous model. I know who that is, but I don't know who Deion Sanders is, an NFL veteran.
He's a football player, I think.
And then the late Michael Jackson, I assume we both know who he is. White even made a trip to Jackson's Neverland in 2003 to provide spiritual support after the singer was arrested on charges of child molestation. Who was the spiritual support for?
He needed a pastor, not Paul White.
He needed somebody to tell him to repent and turn to Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not support in a case like that. I think it's like conviction that you're looking for.
Right. Well, it's okay for a pastor to come and say, and both say, you sinned, and here's the comfort of the gospel. But
okay, I don't think that she's probably doing that. Yeah. Her most famous fan is Donald Trump, whom she says called her out of the blue in 2015, repeated 3 of her televised sermons verbatim, and said she had the it factor.
I doubt that very. I mean, 3 sermons? I mean, maybe
are
3.
Are they short?
Yeah, how long were her sermons?
Maybe she doesn't talk for very long.
I mean, President Trump is not known for his. I mean, I doubt that he memorized. Studiously memorized 3 sermons. Did he get the manuscripts and study them and
commit
them to
memory?
No, he
probably listened to them over and over again on podcasting. No. But remember when,
so she said,
I guess
how
he's,
long?
He's being called Bojo. Boris Johnson recited part of the Iliad in Greek.
Yeah.
Remember that? That was an awesome thing.
Yeah, but he's classically
educated.
But
this is, Donald Trump's doing the same thing, only it's with a Paula White sermon.
I just don't believe that he did. He called her up. Hi, Paula. I'm going to repeat back to you verbatim.
No, that's not how it works.
3 sermons
that
I've memorized from you.
That's not how it works. When you are a fan of somebody and you call them and you're gushing, words that you've listened to over and over again or read come out as you're telling them how grateful you are.
No, I know. He said 3 sermons verbatim.
Gratitude
came out of the mouth.
Produces memory. I'm serious.
Skeptical here.
4. White's career was boosted when prosperity preacher T.D. Jakes invited. How was it boosted? Oh no, we're back to 2001. Mm. These are not in chronological order. He invited her to speak at his Women Thou Art Loosed conference in 2000.
Woman Thou Art Loosed.
I would love to see a mashup of John MacArthur and the Woman Thou Art Loosed conference. Could somebody do a video of that with
That would just be pretty good. Well, T.D. Jakes is not just a prosperity gospel preacher. He's also former Oneness Pentecostal, who's a modalist, Patrick, right?
White has described Jakes as her spiritual father. She sent him a black convertible Bentley for his 50th birthday. Nobody sends John MacArthur a Bentley for
his birthday. Yeah, who's going to send poor John MacArthur?
Nobody loves him.
I wonder if...
It's just T.D. Jakes.
I wonder if Beth Moore would send him a Bentley for... It's a peace offering.
He's not her spiritual father, so... Jakes recommended White for the position of senior pastor at New Destiny Christian Center in Apopka, Florida in late 2011.
There's another name, New Destiny.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
After the previous pastor, Zachary Timms, was found dead in a room from acute intoxication from cocaine and heroin. Oops.
That's really sad. So, you know, because that's obviously the prosperity guy too, you know. And so
Jesus just wants you to be happy with.
Well, he gets his money,
cocaine.
And yeah, no, it's really, it's kind of sad. That sounds like a guy who's trapped in a theological system,
who's not happy,
but he likes the money and he likes the pleasure that he can buy with the money,
so he starts doing cocaine.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is also weird. Tim's ex-wife said in a court ruling that White was the spiritual mother of Zachary and that the two had a spiritually intimate relationship.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? It is a spiritually intimate relationship.
I mean, I'm guessing it's not physically intimate, but...
Well, I don't know, with the cocaine and heroin.
We do tell people when they're dating that they probably shouldn't pray together.
Yeah, don't pray together. I bet they pray together a lot. Yeah, don't do that. If you're engaged and you're trying to be chaste, don't pray together. Not even compline. Don't do that. Number five. In May 2019, White announced that she was stepping down as senior pastor of New Destiny Christian Center, that her son and his wife would become the new senior pastors, and that the church was changing its name to City of Destiny. That's so awesome.
City of Destiny. So it's not, it goes from New Destiny.
To City of Destiny.
To City of Destiny.
In her announcement to the congregation, White said, quote, "I knew Dr. Zach Timms in Baltimore and just the eagerness as a son. Prophetically, he gave me a word. Here we are. In 2005, I was in New York, and he calls me, 'Ma, where are you?' And I said, 'I'm in New York. Are you okay?' And he prophesies to me a word that wouldn't make sense in 2005. He writes it down, but it would make sense in 2019, and sometimes the prophetic won't make sense at the moment. And everything that he prophesied would come to pass to bring this to this point, and I will share that in the fullness of time."
Bring what to what point?
Prophecy.
Oh, but she hasn't shared the prophecy?
No, because it hasn't come to pass. To the fullness of time. White also announced her plans to plant 3,000 churches, launch university, and serve as apostolic overseer of City of Destiny.
Apostolic overseer. Oh, that's right. She's part of, that's another one of the heresies.
She's in the new Reformation. The
new apostolic Reformation, right? There's apostles now, so she's one of them. And she's giving you direct words from God, just like the apostles did, right?
Six, in a 2013 song titled False Teachers, and the S's in those are dollar signs, hip-hop artist Shy Lin included the lyric, "Paula White is a false teacher." When White's son and manager Brad Knight publicly complained, Lin published an open letter noting that in her video series, Eight Promises of the Atonement, White teaches that salvation includes healing and that physical healing and financial abundance in this life are provided for in the atonement of Christ. Yep. Lin also, it's great that we have, like, it's a hip-hop artist who's doing the theological heavy lifting here.
Right. No, he's dead on right. White, that's one of the characteristics of the prosperity gospel, is the cross provided for your healing, your prosperity.
It's her. Lin, Shy Lin is a her.
Is it? I thought it was a man.
No, it says... Shy Lin published an open letter noting that in her video series, Eight Promises of Atonement.
No.
Oh.
Yeah. It's,
why? Oh, okay. White is the woman.
Right.
All that she needs to do now is identify as a man.
Who?
Paula White. To become fully integrated. Okay. Lin also noted that White frequently makes false claims while saying she is speaking for God. Here's a quote. "As sincere as Paula White may be, she is extremely reckless in the many false things that she says God told her to tell her listeners. The videos I provided are enough. Just go back and listen to how often she says God is saying something that he could not possibly be saying to everyone listening to her at the time. Like, you are not going to die of sickness." That's just one of the many examples.
Right, so everybody in the listening audience.
You're not going to die of sickness. But, like... almost all of Everybody them are going to die of sickness. Right. It's like mostly how
That's
we die.
How we die, right.
It's very rare that you don't die of some sickness.
Kind of sickness, yeah.
Like usually, your body gets...
I guess old if you age. Claim that prophecy for yourself, that means you'll be run over by a car or you'll...
Okay.
You'll be shot.
Oh. Well, that's better. Okay.
You will not die of sickness. But
to go to Syria and join in the war.
Right.
Okay, seven. White says she rejects the prosperity gospel. This is where it's okay just to say things.
Right.
I do not believe in the prosperity gospel as I've been accused of believing it, White told the Christian Post. I do believe that all good things come from God, and I also believe that God teaches us so much through our suffering. I wonder what those things are. Despite her claim, White repeatedly promotes a key doctrine of the heretical prosperity gospel, the idea that Christians give in order to gain material compensation for God. For example, in an appeal for money on her website, White says, "I prophetically decree and declare deliverance and prosperity are yours in 2019. This is the year you inherit your promised land." She adds, With obedience to this first fruits instruction and your faith, I believe your purpose, your year, your prosperity and power will release blessing upon your entire year.
Yep, here it is.
Amen. I declare the weight you have been carrying is lifted. Let every yoke break off you now, for I decree you are about to inherit your promised land. 2019 is the year of deliverance and prosperity for you. It begins right now with the biblical principle of first fruits.
So that's right down the line classic prosperity gospel.
It's hard to get a better example. Yeah.
But that's what we were talking about a minute ago, I think. Did we talk about it on this podcast or the one that got destroyed about the Nigerian?
Oh yeah, that was the last.
Right. So this is common. You go to the Nigerian Anglican Church in Nigeria and you listen to the preachers there. They'll say the prosperity gospel is a heresy. We don't believe the prosperity gospel. But in the next breath, they'll be
preaching
the prosperity gospel. And that's because they don't, I mean, I think part of it is not intentional. They just don't understand what it is. They think it's something else. That's like right down the line prosperity.
It's hard to find. Okay, well, here's more. Right. Similarly, in an Easter Sunday service in 2016, White said salvation would come to a TV viewer if they were donated a resurrection seed to her ministry.
A resurrection seed, wow.
Here's the quote. There's someone that God is speaking to click on that donation button by minimizing the screen. And when you, that's how God sounds in the scriptures. He says things like, when you minimize the screen. And when you do so, to sow $1,144. It's not often I ask very specifically, but God has instructed me, and I want you to hear.
Okay, I doubt that very seriously.
This isn't for everyone, but this is for someone. When you sow that $1,144 seed based on John 11:44, I believe, for resurrection life. Wait, what's John 11:44? What verse is that?
That's...
Come on, man. You can pull it out. Do you want me to look it up?
No. It's raising of Lazarus. I'm just trying to figure out which... part of the raising of Lazarus it is. It's toward the end, so it's probably as he's risen up. But I don't know.
You want me to look it up?
No.
Okay.
I want you to stop texting right now.
Okay. Okay. I am. I'm totally stopping texting. Okay, the last one. We're almost done with this great article.
Well, wait. So God wants you...
Because I don't have $1,144.
No, we do. We have in savings. We can pull it out.
Oh, my word.
But the word of God to you is, I want you to sow a resurrection seed by giving to Paula White.
That's like when he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He that beareth good fruit, doth the Lord pruneth. I'm just adding in the S's. It's... right after that, he says,
"And give to Paula White."
I want you to give to Paula White.
Dig deep.
They should put it in at the end of John.
$1,000.
$1,144.
Oh, because the verse is 11:44.
Should I look it up?
Okay, yeah, look it up.
11:44. John 11:44.
This is why some of the same people were saying that President Trump is Cyrus. Because he's the 45th president. And in Isaiah 45 is the prophecy about Cyrus saving Israel.
Okay. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go.
Oh, so you're bound by your poverty, by your not having a lot of money.
Can we sing Roll Away the Stone now?
Yeah. You are bound by not having millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And success and no sickness. So, if you send $1,000, God says to Paula White, he's going to give you. Did she say how much? Like, how much has God? What's in it for you?
No, just resurrection. I don't know. Will you get your promised land?
Oh.
Doesn't give an amount that you get. I mean, I
that's kind
like
of
that's
amorphous,
super
though, because,
sketchy.
Well, but right. But, you know, what is your promised land?
I mean, I don't know.
My promised land is having the bricks repointed on my okay. in our house and having a new staircase built into our front porch.
My promised land, I'm going to need a little more time.
But, you know, I maybe you have to dream big, though, because God hates small dreams.
Your repointed bricks is nothing.
God doesn't want small dreams. He wants big dreams.
He wants big dreams. He doesn't even listen. He
hears your small dreams and he says, "What? That's pathetic. I'm not going to give you that dream. You better come back to me with something
bigger.
I want a bigger dream right now." So what?
What's
your big dream?
My big dream is actually only to get through the laundry today.
Well, there you go. God does not listen to that.
That's not going to help me with that.
What you should dream is to have a housekeeper come.
Oh.
And live in the house and do all of our work for us.
All right. I'm going to trust God. Let's send in our
$1,000. It doesn't work unless you send in.
That seems like a small investment for a live-in housekeeper. Do I have to pay the housekeeper after I send in $1,000? Is it free?
I think God just zaps her into the house. And God's...
Okay, we have two more. We're never going to get through these. 8. White and her former husband, Randy, were part of two congressional investigations. Congressional. One in 2004 and one in 2007 of Prosperity Gospel Ministries. The investigation uncovered no chargeable tax offenses, but they raised questions about her ministry's finances. For example, between 2004 and 2007, the church paid a total of $2.75 million in compensation to their relatives, including Paula's son and Randy's two children, and his father and sister. Randy and Paula also purportedly received $5 million a year in compensation from their church. Boy, are you underpaid from your church. And purchased a $3.5 million condo in Trump Tower in New York City, according to Senate documents.
Wow, that's, she's definitely...
She's
dreaming big.
She's having her reward
that's
now.
That's a big dream. Wow, $5 million a year. Yeah.
From the church.
I should forward this to the vestry.
I think it's the vestry meeting tonight. We're working out our budget. And I, for one...
Not tonight, it's on... Wednesday.
Oh, whatever day. Yeah, I think that we should definitely get in on the big bucks of Good Shepherd. The problem is that you haven't called Good Shepherd Matt Kennedy Ministries.
That's the problem. Yeah, I should get a big paste. Big.
We just got
of my
a
face.
New sign. Let's just paste over the new sign that we got.
With my face.
9. White is said to be President Trump's spiritual advisor and personal pastor. She says she's directly shared the gospel with him, but she believes he's been a Christian since childhood.
Yes, but we
know he's not a Christian.
We know, well, yeah, because...
He doesn't have to repent.
He grew up in... What was the name of this guy?
Vincent Peale.
Norman Vincent Peale's church, who didn't... Norman Vincent Peale taught the power of positive thinking.
He's not a Christian.
He wasn't a Christian, right. And we know that, at least to the present, there's been no indication of conversion on the part of Donald Trump, because when asked if he's ever had anything to repent of, he says, "No, I make a practice of just not making mistakes in the first place."
I love that so much. I just don't make any
Why
mistakes.
Why would I repent when I don't make a mistake?
I don't do any bad things. White delivered the invocation at Trump's inauguration and claims to be the convener and de facto head of the president's Evangelical Advisory Board. The group of about 35 evangelical pastors includes the four men who endorsed her latest book. And here we go. Jerry Falwell Jr., Franklin Graham, Jack Graham, and Robert Jeffress. So, Christianity is dead. I'd like to pair this with the Rod Dreher going through the Pew stats about the decline of Christianity in America, and basically there is no more Christianity. Christianity is dead, and I think you can trace it probably back to this very, very indicting line for men who endorsed her book: Jerry Falwell, John Jr., Franklin Graham, Jack Graham, and Robert Jeffress. Talk about losing all credibility.
Yeah, how do you... It's because of politics. This is why they're friends with her. This is why they're supporting her ministry. These are men who say the Bible is inerrant and infallible, who do not preach the prosperity gospel, who do preach the gospel, but they're leading people to read this book, which is going to be really harmful for their souls because of their political allegiances.
It's really, really depressing.
Yeah, it's very depressing. I mean, I like Franklin Graham. I think he gets a lot more flack than he deserves, but
I don't.
No,
I thought his tweeting about how it's no big deal about Mr. Trump having four marriages.
Oh yeah, oh that's crazy.
Was insane.
Yeah,
like, that was crazy. And there wasn't any reason for him to be like, well, what was the tweet? It was insane. It was insane. Like, I feel like it's fine.
I feel like it's fine.
I mean, well, I know was really bad when Mr. Clinton did it because somebody asked him, and he's like, no, no, it's totally different because Mr. Trump is just special. I don't remember what he said.
There was something he said that was very weird.
He said something insane. I don't know what it was. But, like, no, you can't say that. Okay, look, if you want to vote for Mr. Trump, whatever, man. That's fine. But don't go on Twitter.
I understand it. I mean,
don't go on Twitter and be like, oh, he's so holy and good.
Right. That's the thing. I totally understand.
It's totally fine for him to commit adultery because he's so special. Whereas when Mr. Clinton does it, it's not special and important. And actually, neither person should commit adultery.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Jesus doesn't want anyone to commit adultery. I'm going to go out on a limb there and say, it's wrong to commit adultery,
Jesus,
no matter who
pleased.
You are. So, well, anyway, that's Paula White.
Yeah.
So
it's very sad.
Pray
for her soul.
Yeah.
And
that of our president, dear leader.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Wouldn't it be nice if he actually became?
Well, maybe
because
he could be
do,
like Kanye West.
I mean, look,
and become a real Christian.
He's done some. I think he surprised me by doing some really good things, especially with abortion. I mean, for that alone, you know, I'm thankful. And I think half of the outrage that he generates is unwarranted because it's just people angry that he doesn't kowtow to the media, which I'm glad he doesn't do. But then the other half of the outrage comes from the fact that Trump doesn't have any humility and says whatever he says is absolutely right all the time. He says it better than anyone else. And I think if he actually became a Christian, not only would his soul be saved, which is the best thing, but he'd take part in the resurrection. He'd have the John 11:44 moment. But also, you know, he might stop tweeting.
If he can get John 11:44 with just sending Paula White $1,144, why would he have to?
Why would he have to do? Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's so dumb.
But wouldn't that be? I mean, I think 99.9% of all the issues that people have with Trump would go. I mean, they wouldn't go because he's conservative, or he's not. I wouldn't say that.
He's not conservative.
No, he's more conservative than the left. So,
I mean, I'm sorry. After
people would still hate him, but they wouldn't have the grounds to hate him as much as they do.
After that Democratic thing, town hall thing,
right.
Those people made Trump look like,
those people are crazy.
Plato.
Yeah, I know.
Or Bojo. That was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sorry, that black trans woman who was walking up and down the stage saying, I'm an exceptional and wonderful, special black trans woman. Is a man, a tall, strong man in a dress, walking back and forth across the stage, shouting at everybody about how exceptional and special he was. That, like, if you met a tall, strong man, as a short, weak woman, I would recede into the darkness of that moment and be like, oh, I'm not going to question your strength, your virility, and your specialness, because I don't want you to, like, scream at me. It was insane.
Yeah,
and two other men, while this man walks back and forth threatening the crowd, the two men on stage tell him how lovely he is and clap and smile foolishly.
Yeah.
And it's not about race at all, like, because it's color. There's a lot of it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is in your transness. If you're a very tall, strong man of whatever color and you're shouting at a crowd of smaller women who could not win in a fight with you about how you're really a woman. I mean, that's insane.
Well,
that is insane.
No more insane than the guy walking, going around trying to get women to wax his genitals because he's a woman.
But that's like that's going to be enshrined in law right. if you vote for Beto or Elizabeth Warren.
Beto. He's trying to. Beto is a Texas is a name that Spanish speakers sometimes call.
I'm sorry. He doesn't.
It's
a nickname.
It's Beto. He has no Hispanic blood.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to call him Beto and Bojo.
But he's trying to use it to get the Hispanic
vote. And Trumpo.
Like, So.
No.
So he also wants to give the state authority over churches by he actually wants to create a state church.
Right.
By taking away the tax exemption that churches have that don't agree with him about. You know, gay stuff, which in effect makes the church, makes the state a theological auditor over
right the church, which it's actually right. not supposed
which
to be.
Which is the exact purpose for having tax exemption, so that you can have the separation
the
of church
state
and state, right?
Is not to tell the church right. what to think.
So those guys are crazy. I mean, they're all crazy. I mean, the Elizabeth Warren.
I mean, I do like the spiritualist who apparently getting downloads from Russia. I might vote for her.
Right. So the. Yeah, they're all crazy. So, yeah, compared to them...
I mean...
Trumpo looks like...
He looks like, you know, Plato.
Right. The Philosopher King.
The Philosopher King. We weren't going to talk about politics. And we're talking
about Plato.
Because we should regather our children, probably, from their soccer time. And carry on. But I think next week we will do our annual special Halloween podcast so that the week after that we can do our Reformation
Pollock.
Is it okay
for Christians to celebrate Halloween?
I think we should just talk about Satanism next week, pure and like straight up. I've been collecting links, so I'm good to go.
Just about Satanism?
And Halloween, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Okay, well,
this is your official teaser. It's going to be an extra super special podcast. A very special presenting grace podcast. But until then, thank you so much for listening, and go out and plant your seed for the resurrection.